This is the day the Lord has made. Thank you for joining us in worship today. We praise God for you and however you're listening. We pray the message you receive will allow you to strengthen your relationship in Christ and build his kingdom as we seek God, shape lives, and serve the world.
Amen, amen. I will bless the Lord at all times. God's praise shall continually be in my mouth. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt God's name together. Taste and see the goodness of the Lord, and let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. You miss your cue. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. If the Lord woke you up this morning, started you on your way, you have reason to give God praise, for the Lord is worthy to be praised. We give thanks unto God on this day that the Lord has made. We give thanks to God for the grace and mercy that God bestows upon us. It is good to be in God's house on this day. It is good to be in God's house vertically and not horizontally in God's house. Amen. And so I want to thank you, the First African community, for allowing a brother coming down from Chicago for this wonderful weather, by the way, to be here in Savannah, Georgia, to celebrate, as you all celebrate 245 years. What an amazing blessing. And we are grateful for this citadel of hope, of what you mean to not only Christendom, but especially to people of African descent. I want to thank God for the tribal chieftain of this clan and the angel of this house, my brother, my friend, none other than Pastor Tillman. Come on, you all give it up. You have an absolutely gifted pastor who has the heart of a pastor. I want to share this. I don't even know if you remember this, Pastor Tillman. It was years ago when I started in ministry at Tabernacle Baptist in Augusta. We're down here for the New Era Missionary Baptist Convention, and Pastor Tillman was presenting, and he was so kind to allow me to peek into the sanctuary of First African. I am an absolute history nerd. I just want you to know I'm a history nerd. Anything that is connected to black and history, I'm there. And so Pastor Tillman was so kind to allow several of us to be in this very sacred space. And then he made a presentation at the New Era Convention speaking about a Christian education and the importance of making sure that we design curriculum that is affirming to our young people. And I want to just thank you for your ministry and your witness. I want to thank God for Sister Tillman, as the way you all partner together in ministry. It is just such a blessing, and you have blessed my life, and this congregation has been a blessing on a number of ways. There was a deacon. Deacon James gave myself and Monica a tour of this church years ago, and we're the only two on the tour, and we came in here, and he gave us a tour for an hour and 30 minutes of First African, and I mean, he was even testing us afterwards. He said, "Now, let me tell you, what do those holes mean down there? Let me tell you, let me ask you." I mean, he gave us a test. It was a blessing. It was an absolute blessing, and to the musicians, I want to thank you all for blessing us. We appreciate you all are doing this thing. You got Chris Dave on the drums over here, and thank you so much, Stanley Clark on the bass, and Corey Henry over here on the Hammond. We appreciate y'all doing your thing, and our music ministry. You all have just blessed us today. I thank you. I thank you so very, very much. I also want to give a major shout out to our poet. We thank you so much for blessing us brick by brick. Amen. Amen. And the Sisters of the Divine Nine, Delta Sigma Theta, we praise God for you as you all celebrate 25 years together. And we are so appreciative of your work and your witness. Again, it is a blessing as I have been reading, not just about First African, but in terms of our sacred institutions. And there are only a few, I want you to know that there are only a few churches that can be considered to be sacred cathedrals in our tradition. One would be considered Mother Bethel. Mother Bethel, which would be the home of the African Methodist Episcopal Church in the Philadelphia area. Another could be Abyssinia in New York and its incredible history and legacy. Another in Atlanta could be considered Ebenezer with its legacy in reference to civil rights. But the other that has to be added is First African. For the work and witness, what you mean to our community is amazing. It is in the Jewish tradition that they say, and I heard this from a rabbi, said that it is considered to be child abuse if a child doesn't know their history. It is considered child abuse if a child grows up and doesn't know who they are. It means that the parents have abused the child, because your connection to God is also connected to knowing your history, knowing where we have been. In other words, if it had not been for the Lord on our side, where would we be? And the history that rests in this place is one that should be elevated and taught all across the nation. And I just thank you for your witness and for your work. And if we could, at this moment, just go to the Lord in prayer at this moment, recognizing that there can be no preaching unless there is praying, for praying and preaching go hand in hand, and one cannot have one without the other. With every head bowed, with every heart open, let us go to God in prayer at this moment. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and see if there is any destructive way in me. When you discover what does not belong in me, I ask, O God, that you would cast it aside and place it into the sea of forgetfulness as far as the east is from the west, that it may never return again. Remove me, O God, and allow your word to go forth and not return void. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, you are my strength, and without a doubt, you are certainly my redeemer. Holy Spirit, do thy will. Do thy will, O Holy Spirit. We offer this prayer in the mighty, magnificent, powerful, majestic, liberating, salvific, healing, blessed, saving name of Jesus, who is the Christ. And the people of God who love God may say, amen, amen, amen. I'd like at this moment, if I might draw your attention to the Gospel according to Mark, the fifth chapter, the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 5. And it's already been wonderfully read. I want to read again from a different translation, two translations that I want to read at this moment. The Gospel according to Mark, Mark 5, beginning with verse 1. If you have your phone, you can look up Mark 5, or if you have your Bible, a physical Bible or a virtual Bible, I would invite you to read along. Mark chapter 5, verses 1 through 20. I'm going to read from the New International Version along with the OM3 version. Now, that's the Otis Mossa III version. That'll be coming out next year, edited by Pastor Tillman. But Mark chapter 5, if you are physically able, we would just kindly ask that you would just stand for the reading of the Word of God at this moment. Again, these two different translations, only if you are physically able for these two translations. It reads this way. They went across the lake region of the Gerasenes. When Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an impure spirit came from the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the tombs. Another translation, this man lived in a space with no economic development. And no one could bind him, not even with a chain. Another translation, the man lived in a space of no economic development. And no one could bind him, not even when they tried to incarcerate him. For he had been often chained, incarcerated, hand and foot. And he tore the chains apart and broke the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs, in the space of no economic development, and in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. Another translation, and in the hills, he would cry out and practice self-harm with stones. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front of him. He shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In God's name, don't torture me." Another translation from Greek reads, he shouted at the top of his lungs, "Rabbi, what do you want with me? You, Rabbi, Son of the Most High God, in God's name, don't torture me." For Jesus had said to him, "Come out of this man, you impure spirit." Then Jesus asked him, "What's your name?" "My name is Legion," he replied, "for we are many." And he begged Jesus again and again not to send them out of the area. A large herd of pigs was feeding on the nearby hillside. The demons begged Jesus, "Send us among the pigs. Allow us to go into them." He gave them permission, and the impure spirits came out and went into the pigs. The herd, about 2,000 in number, rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. Those tending the pigs ran off and reported this in the town and the countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons sitting there, dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. They saw the man who had been possessed by a legion of demons sitting there, dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen him told the people what had happened to this demon-possessed man and told them about the pigs as well. Then the people began to plead with Jesus. Another translation, the people start telling Jesus, "You got to get up out of here." As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged Jesus, just said, "Jesus, can I roll with you?" Jesus said, "Nah, bruh, you can't go with me. I want you to go home to your own people and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." So the man went away and began to tell everybody, across the 10 cities, the Decapolis, how much Jesus had done for him, and all the people were amazed. They saw the man who had been possessed by a legion of demons sitting there, dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid, dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading and hearing of God's holy word. You may be seated in the presence of the Most High God. I'd like for the brief time that we have together at this moment, I'd like for us to focus on this simple idea of going from miseducation to liberation. From miseducation to liberation. From miseducation to liberation. I would invite you to please just flank me with your prayers at this moment. Pastor Tillman, as a young boy growing up in Cleveland, Ohio, there was something that I absolutely loved. I loved to do every year. It happened usually around July or August, and I was excited, Reverend Chauncey, about this moment, usually that happened between July and August. It was when the circus would come to town. Now I'm not talking about any circus. I'm talking about the Barnum and Bailey three-ring circus. I loved everything about the circus, and it was my godfather by the name of Alfred Warren who would take myself and my godbrother to the circus every year. I loved everything about the circus. I loved the trapeze artists. I absolutely loved that little tiny car that would come out, and about 11 clowns would pop out of this little tiny car. I loved the lions, the tigers, the bears, oh my. I loved everything about the circus. But there was one particular animal that absolutely fascinated me, but at the same time made me nervous, Sister Tillman, when this animal would come out. The animal was majestic and powerful, but at the same time made me nervous at the same time. It was the elephants. I loved it when the elephants came out. These large, majestic, and powerful animals. It would bless me. I was just amazed that they were so powerful and they were so amazing. And they would always listen to a man with a little whip and a chair. And always it bothered me because I knew that the elephants had more authority and power than this man. But why would one who has more authority and power listen to one who has just simply a little whip and a chair? And I was always nervous because we had good seats, usually in the third row. I was worried that an elephant coup d'etat was going to take place. And I figured that we were going to be the first victims in the elephant revolution. And I said to my godfather, I said, I'm nervous. I love looking at the elephants. But I'm nervous that these elephants are going to start a revolution, that they are going to decide to be liberated on the day we're at the circus. But then he said to me, he said, Otis, you don't have to worry about these elephants, because these elephants, from the time that they were small, had a collar around their neck and a leash that was roughly about 12 feet in length. And they grew up with this collar around their neck and this leash that was roughly 12 feet in length that was a limitation upon their possibility. And as they grew up, they thought the limitation on their possibility. They did not believe that they had authority and power. But eventually, they were emancipated from the leash and the collar. But because they had been miseducated so long, they made the assumption that they had a limitation upon their possibility, and they are willing to listen to somebody that does not have as much authority and power as they do. So that man with the whip and the chair can tell them what they should do, where they should go, and how they should act because they have been miseducated so long. But it was my godfather who said something to me. He said, you don't have to worry about these elephants, but you do have to worry about the elephants that realize we ain't got nothing to lose. Because the moment that they realize that your whip can't stop me, your chair can't hurt me, a revolution is about to take place. And let come here for a moment. Don't you know that there are some people, you still think I'm talking about elephants, but there are some people who have a
leash upon their limitations, but we have been emancipated. And those who have a whip, whether it is a minority or a majority whip, don't have the authority to tell us what we can and cannot do. They cannot tell us who to vote for. They cannot tell us what we can do. And if we are educated and not miseducated, we can even change the Senate in Georgia. I'm here to let you know that the moment that we recognize we have nothing to lose, a revolution is going to take place. You still think I'm talking about elephants, but the moment that black people recognize we have nothing to lose, there will be a revolution that will take place in this nation. Is there anybody in here? Do you know what I'm talking about? We can go from miseducation to liberation. That's what I love, Patar. That's what I love about Jesus, because Jesus is a liberating Savior. Jesus is one that will move you from miseducation to liberation. And cannot you see in this story right here, Reverend Chauncey, that Jesus is with his crew, and his crew is going across the lake, and they end in this area known as the Gerasenes, or in one translation, Gadara. And he ends up in an area known as the tombs. Please hold on. Look at this. Jesus is doing ministry in the tombs, a place that has no economic development, a place that has no educational system, a place that is not even being gentrified, that everybody says everybody there is dead. There's no use to doing anything there because we've already made a determination that nothing can be resurrected in this area. But Jesus says, my ministry is going to be in a space where you think things cannot be resurrected. And Jesus is about to do a ministry in a space that people say nothing can be resurrected. He is in the tombs. He is in a space that has no economic development. There is no investment, a place that has been written off, and is even in the midst of an environmental crisis. But Jesus says, this is where our ministry is going to be. But what I love about this, do not miss what's happening in this world. He has a ministry in the tombs, but while he is in the tombs, there is a brother who's already in the tombs. You still miss this. There's a brother who's been living in a place that has no economic development, has no healthcare system, has no educational system, but he is existing in a place that everybody else has written off. Look at what's going on with this particular brother. You will notice this because we have a tendency, Reverend Chauncey, to spiritualize what's happening here. You don't see the radical revolutionary stuff that Jesus is about to do. There's a brother who's living in the tombs, who has been incarcerated living in the tombs. Some of you are still looking at me peculiar. It's right there in the word. It says somebody tried to put chains around his wrist, and somebody tried to put chains around his ankles. But the reason he had chains around his wrist and his ankles is not because he was a criminal. He had mental health issues. You still miss what I said. It said he's moving throughout the day and night, screaming and hollering and cutting himself. That's called self-harm. And instead of somebody bringing some mental health help for him, they decide to incarcerate him instead. You still miss what I'm saying. So many people are being incarcerated across our nation who need mental health and not be thrown into a prison. But yet, this brother who's been cutting himself, this brother is living in the tombs. And it seems that everybody's fine with him living in the tombs. If I may stop here parenthetically, and it seems that people are fine when certain people are incarcerated. If we're talking crack cocaine, everybody back in the 80s and 90s said, lock them up. But as soon as we change the conversation to an opioid epidemic, everybody wants to talk about health care, because we've changed who's going to be incarcerated. But Jesus is saying, I've got compassion for everybody, and I'm going to do my ministry in the tombs. This brother, I love this brother. This is a bad brother right here. He's a brother. He's a brother. I'm trying to tell you, he's a brother. He's a bad brother. Why would I say this man among the tombs is a bad brother? Because it says that even though they incarcerated him, even though he had chains around his wrists, chains around his ankles, nobody could bind him. He had a whole bunch of issues, but he kept breaking free. I'm here to let you know that our best and brightest do not go to Savannah State, Morehouse, or Spelman, or Clark, or Georgia Tech, or Emory University, but the best and the brightest, many of those who have so much strength, are those who are incarcerated 24 hours, 7 days a week. And if we had a ministry in the tombs, we could see transformation among black men and black women. He has. This is a powerful brother that he keeps breaking the chains. But please, look, Pastor Tillman, what happens in the text? That in the word it says, when he sees Jesus, he runs and falls upon his knees and says to Jesus, look at what it says in the word. It says, what do you have to do with me? Jesus, a proper Greek translation is, Rabbi, what do you have to do with me? Please don't torture me. You missed it. He says, Rabbi, don't torture me. Now, many times we end up spiritualizing this, Reverend Chauncey. We end up spiritualizing this, saying, oh, he recognizes that this is the Son of God. But please, when you look at the exact translation from the Greek, he says, Rabbi, don't torture me. And the question is, how do you know he was a rabbi? And why did he say, don't torture me? Because he had already had an encounter with other rabbis before. And so he is raising a question about religious trauma. That I've had an encounter with the bishop, with the preacher, with the deacon, with the trustee, and everybody I have an encounter with, they torture me instead of embracing me. He's saying, I've been to church, I've been to the synagogue, and they treat me the same way. Don't torture me. What this man is trying to recover from religious trauma. And truth be told, the reason that so many people will not darken the door of a church is because they are still in recovery from some religious trauma. That someone tortured them instead of loving them, instead of being compassionate to them. And what this raises a question. Though there is religious trauma in this text, it is saying that religion is a problem. Religion, that is the system. Religion, that is the doctrine. So if religion is the problem, faith is the solution. You still miss your shout because there's a difference between your religion and your faith. You can have a whole lot of religion and have no faith. You can know when to stand and when to sit, but still have no faith. You may know all the hymns, but you still don't have a relationship with Jesus. Faith is your relationship. Religion is the system, and religion is the problem, but faith is the answer. And Jesus is saying, I'm not coming here to start a new religious system. I want to deepen your faith. Please do not miss this. He's showing up so that you may deepen your faith. And part of the thing is that we need to know that religion can be the problem, but faith can be the solution. And we have seen that throughout the history in the African-American community. That many of you all know and understand of the Civil Rights Movement, better known as the Freedom Movement. That there was a place known as Montgomery, Alabama, where they had the Montgomery Improvement Association, better known as the Montgomery Bus Boycott. But we got this thing historically wrong, Mayor. We got it historically wrong because we love to say that it was Martin Luther King who started the Montgomery bus boycott. It was not Martin Luther King. They were having a meeting in the basement of a church. And all the men were arguing because Rosa Parks had been arrested And some said we need to file a claim and we need to boycott. Some said we should boycott for a day. But in the back, there were a group of women led by Joanne Robinson, the women's political counsel. She worked at Alabama State University. Joanne said, I'm tired of the brothers arguing. We're going to go over to Alabama State and we're going to go ahead and have a boycott. They didn't have a Xerox machine. They had a mimeograph machine. And they ended up printing 55,000 flyers. And they put it on the doorstep of every black person in Montgomery. And when 5:30 a.m. came about, Dr. King walked outside and saw the flyer and said, I guess we're doing a boycott. And the boycott lasted over a year. And the rest is history, because Joanne Robinson and those sisters had faith when other people just had a religious system. Is there anybody in here? When you have faith, religion can be the challenge, but faith is the answer. And Jesus is here in the tombs. Jesus is here doing a ministry in the tombs, and there is this religious trauma right here, and Jesus is trying to deepen the faith at this moment. And this man says, what do you have to do with me? He is yelling at the top of his lungs. And I can imagine Bishop of Comedy, because, you know, all these folk are brothers right here. But there is a brother with Jesus. I know he's a brother with Jesus because they're all brothers. But there's one from the hood who is with Jesus. Because when you see a man half naked with chains running at you, you're going to act a certain way. And I believe Peter put his hand on his knife at that moment, because you know Peter was the thug disciple. Because if you roll up on Jesus wrong, he might cut off your ear. But Jesus rolls just like a brother from the south side of Chicago. When this brother who is bleeding and has chains and is half naked runs up on Jesus, Jesus doesn't even move. He just says, what's your name? And the brother just stops. What's your name? And the man does not answer. Wait a minute. He says, we are legion, for we are many. Now, we tend to spiritualize this, but please understand that the term legion is a Greek military term. It specifically means, it's a Roman military term that means 10,000. A battalion of 10,000. The man doesn't answer, but the Roman issues answer. In other words, the man was possessed by 10,000 Roman policies. How did I get in this situation? There's a legion of things that happened in my life that put me in this position. And Mark uses this Roman military term. He could have used it in term to talk about possession, but he had to use a Roman term to say the man's in his position because the empire has policies that put him in this position. But please don't miss this thing. When I saw it, it messed me up. The man doesn't answer, his issues do. And when you're possessed by a variety of issues, you got to be careful about your dysfunction answering for you. And the man's issues answer, not the man. All of the issues that I have, all of the challenges I have, Jesus says, what is your name? And the issues answer. But see, watch what happens, because Jesus, I tell you, Jesus is the man. And when Jesus raises this question, because he wants to find out the real name, all of a sudden, the issues, the demons, begin lobbying and negotiating with Jesus. It's right there in the Word of God. It says, hey, look here. Hey, Jesus, Son of the Most High, can you hook a demon up? Can you send us? There's a herd of pigs. Hook a demon up. And they are attempting to go and possess someone else. And Jesus just says, go on with your bad self. And the demons jump in a herd of pigs. Now it says that the herd of pigs are about 2,000. A legion is 10,000. And now, I'm not good at math, but I would suggest that that is probably 5 demons per pig. And as soon as one pig is dealing with 5 demons, all the pigs commit pigicide at that moment. They kill themselves because they can't handle all that hell inside of them, which raises a question about this man. It means that this man could function with 10,000 issues. It means that he's strong, even though he's going through all kind of stuff. He's got power and authority in him if he can move from miseducation to liberation. And I'm here to speak to every brother and every sister. Whatever may be possessing you, there's power in you. There is strength in you. There is authority in you. You need to know that there is power that God has placed inside of you. And so the pigs commit pigicide. Okay, let me help y'all out again. Y'all completely missed it. They missed it. So, okay. So Jesus, remember him? You know Jesus. Yes, that's the Son of God. Jesus sends the demons out. The demons lobby Jesus. Can we go into the pigs? Jesus says, go on with your bad self. And the pigs commit pigicide. Okay, y'all missed it over here. All right. Jesus, y'all remember him? Son of God did this thing. All right. Y'all know Jesus, right? Yes. And so Jesus says, what's your name? And the demons begin to lobby Jesus and say to him, look here, can you hook a demon up? Send us into the pigs. And the pigs commit pigicide. Okay, y'all missed that. Let me go slower over here. Jesus, remember him? Son of God. Yeah. We know him. And he raises the question, what is your name? And the demons begin to lobby Jesus and say, hook a demon up. Send us into the pigs. And the pigs commit pigicide. Okay. Y'all still missing it. So let me help you out. Since Jews don't eat pork, what is pigs doing in Palestine? Which means somebody's making money off of something that is destructive to the community. And right then when Jesus releases this man, he not only releases the man, he changes the economic order at the same time. So the entire illicit trade in the tombs is now destroyed because Jesus liberated one man. I want you to know that one person, when they're liberated, it can change an entire community. When one person is uplifted, it can change an entire neighborhood. When one person is changed, it can change your family. When one is released, So the entire pork trade is destroyed. Ain't no more pork chops. No more pig ear sandwiches. I'm sorry, no sausage, nothing. You're gonna have to find something else to put in your greens. Turkey, I don't know, but the pork's gone. And at that moment, he changes the economic order by liberating one man. But this is the thing that makes me shout. Because now the man is released. And it says here that he's now clothed, sitting, and in his right mind, and the people are afraid. You missed your shout. He's clothed. He's sitting and in his right mind, and the people are afraid. They weren't afraid when he was in chains. They weren't afraid when he was cutting himself. They weren't afraid when he was living in the tombs. But when he got his stuff together, when he knew who he was, when he was able to be liberated, all of a sudden the people are afraid. And I'm here to let you know, when you're in your right mind, there will be people who will be afraid of you. When you're in your right mind, they'll be worried you may shift the balance of power. When you're in your right mind, you may decide to vote. When you're in your right mind, you'll make history. When you're in your right mind, you will change the world. Is there anybody in here? Are you in your right mind? In your right mind. That is why there are so many people who are afraid. When you're in your right mind, they will try to say things to you that don't make any sense. I got this lapel pin of Colin Kaepernick. You can say whatever you want about Colin, but I like me some Colin Kaepernick. And I was blessed by Colin Kaepernick, because when Colin Kaepernick decided to kneel, he was trying to lift up issues in reference to what was happening in the African American community. But some people said he was being disrespectful to the Star Spangled Banner, that you've got to be a patriot. You got to stand for the Star Spangled Banner because it means the same for everybody. Well, I got to let you know that we only sing a portion of the Star Spangled Banner. It was not created in 1776. It was created for the War of 1812. And there is a line in the Star Spangled Banner that we do not sing that talks about the fact of slaves need to be in their grave because they decided to run for freedom or join the British because the British gave them freedom. And I want you to know, before you say something, you better know your history. It's amazing that people get upset with Colin Kaepernick for taking a knee, but you didn't get upset for somebody else who punched his wife, somebody else who was snorting cocaine, but you got upset with Colin Kaepernick because he took a knee. I'm here to let you know, when you're in your right mind, there will be some people who will be upset with you. Is there anybody in here? Are you in your right mind? And that's why this election, so many people were upset. They're afraid Georgia might be in its right mind. They're afraid you might start reading history. You might read some Maya Angelou, but they'll call it critical race theory. They're afraid you might know some Toni Morrison. Read a little Langston Hughes. Study some Ella Baker. You might understand about Shirley Chisholm, who is unbossed and unbought. You might read about Good Trouble and John Lewis. You might know the work of Maynard Jackson. You might understand the power of James Orange and look at the organizing of Hosea Williams. If you're in your right mind, you might know your history. And there are people who are afraid that you might wake up, take the chains off your neck, and decide to be in your right mind. And for 245 years, first African, you've been in your right mind. Now, this man, he is clothed and is in his right mind. And so the man says, Jesus, can I roll with you? Jesus, can I go with you? But the man says, please let me go. But if I may give an OM3 translation, that's the Otis Master III translation. Jesus says, nah, bruh, you can't go with me, because if you roll with me, people won't know what you used to be. But if you go back home, they'll say, isn't that Pookie who used to be on the corner, but now he's in his right mind? Isn't that Joe who used to smoke everything around, but he's in his right mind. He's raising his children. He's graduating from school. He put a down payment on a house. He just started his own business. He's working in the church. He's clothed and in his right mind. Good day. May the Lord bless you real good. But I'm so glad there was a man who was in his right mind. It ended up spreading the gospel all throughout Galilee. And as a result, more people were in their right mind. But there were people who were afraid. And as a result, they ended up crucifying our Jesus. But I'm glad, because if Jesus had never been crucified, then there would be no resurrection. If there was no resurrection, there would be no Pentecost. If there was no Pentecost, then Peter would never preach. If Peter didn't preach at Pentecost, we wouldn't know about Stephen being stoned. If Stephen was never stoned, then we'd never have someone named Saul looking at what was going on. And if Saul was never there, he'd never be converted to Paul. If there was no Paul, there would be no churches in North Africa and also in the other areas known as Mesopotamia. If there were no churches in Northern Africa and in the areas of Mesopotamia, then we would not know anything about an origin. If there was no origin, then we would never know St. Augustine. If we didn't know St. Augustine, there would be no St. Thomas Aquinas. If there was no St. Thomas Aquinas, there would be no Martin Luther. If there was no Martin Luther, there would be no Protestant Revolution. If there was no Protestant Revolution, there would be no Baptists in England. If there were no Baptists in England, then they would never come to America. If they never came to America, there would be no Rhode Island Baptists. If there were no Rhode Island Baptists, they'd never commission a man named George Lyle. If there was no George Lyle, he'd never be on the Savannah River. If he was never on the Savannah River, he'd never organize First African. If there was no George Lyle, there'd be no Andrew Bryant. If there was no Andrew Bryant, there'd be no Andrew Marshall. If there was no Andrew Marshall, there'd be no William Campbell. If there was no William Campbell, there'd be no George Gibbons. If there was no George Gibbons, there'd be no Emmanuel Love. If there was no Emmanuel Love, there'd be no J.W. Carr. If there was no J.W. Carr, there'd be no LaMotta Williams. If there was no LaMotta Williams, there'd be no Malachi Williams. If there was no Malachi Williams, there'd be no Edgar Thomas. If there was no Edgar Thomas, there'd be no Mark Walton. If there was no Mark Walton, there'd be no J. Alfred Wilson. If there was no J. Alfred Wilson, there'd be no Ralph Mark Gilbert. If there was no Ralph Mark Gilbert, there'd be no Curtis Jackson. If there was no Curtis Jackson, there'd be no William Stokes. If there was no William Stokes, there'd be no Lawrence McKinney. If there was no Lawrence McKinney, there'd be no Pastor Tillman. If there was no Pastor Tillman, I wouldn't be invited to preach right now. I'm so glad that there was somebody who was in their right mind for 245 years. You've been in your right mind. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Yeah. I said yeah. Yeah.
Hallelujah. What a mighty God we serve. What a word, what a word. Miseducation to liberation. What a word, what a word. There's somebody here today that recognize I need the Lord in my life. I was blessed on today. God has blessed me. I need to receive this God who loves me in spite of me, who's willing to help me through all my issues. If you're here on today, we'll give you an opportunity to come. You can come. If you're here in worship, just walk down the aisle. If you're online, just go ahead and type into that and receive the message that we have for you. You can type the word saved to the number that you see in there. If you're here on today, won't you come? I ask you to pray this prayer with me if you want to accept Christ. Just repeat this word, this prayer after me. It's a prayer you have to pray. The Bible says, if you shall confess your mouth to the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart God is raised from the dead, you shall be saved. You say, Father God, I have sinned. I have not been all I should be. I am sorry for my sins. I want to turn from my sins. I believe in my heart Jesus died for my sins and rose from the grave. I'm willing to trust you, God, all the days of my life. Holy Spirit, come into my life. Help me to be what you want me to be. I will tell others that you saved me. Thank you, God, for saving me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you. We thank God for you. Just come and allow God to be in your life. If you've already saved and you don't have a church home or Light Tonight and Fellowship with First African, we invite you to come that we may grow together and do the work God has called us to do. What an awesome 245th anniversary. To God be the glory. Wow. God has richly blessed and kept us. We want you to know that copies of the poem are available. Got a message about that. Copies of the poem are available brick by brick for purchase, as well as his book, The ABC of African American History. I guess that will be in the vestibule or downstairs. If you want to get a copy, go downstairs and do that. Listen, I got to make sure that Dr. Moss gets to his plane on time. We wanted him to come and stay for a week and just share with us all week long. But he has a couple of other things he has to do. Please be in prayer with him, he and his family, in a very special way. And Trinity, continue to pray that God continue to bless, guide, strengthen, and keep him. We're so blessed to have him with us. Wouldn't we love for him to come back to First African? Amen and amen. I'm going to ask if he will come with the benediction. Am I missing anything? Want him to come back with the benediction? You want to take pictures with the... Okay, amen. Everybody who received your medallions, we ask you to come forward. We can take your pictures right after the benediction. All who have the 40-plus medallions, all of our honorees, yes. Our torchbearers, thank you, Dr. Beckett. Our torchbearers, we want you to come for pictures when we've completed. Again, we're going to ask if Dr. Moss will come with our benediction. And again, we thank every last one of you for all that you've done. Let's not forget to do in your giving. Don't forget in your giving, because we want to take care of all of our anniversary expenses and everything else we have to do. Thank you so much for what you have done and what you will do.
Again, we say thank you, and we are just delighted to be here. And we offer this benediction this day. It merges two traditions together, one being the African-American Pentecostal tradition, the other an Irish prayer and blessing. I learned this prayer from my big brother in ministry, Dr. Walter Malone from Louisville, Kentucky, and it simply goes this way. With our eyes open, we offer this. May the peace of God be with you. May the peace of God be with you and with you. May no demonic force enter your household. May God place a hedge of protection around you and yours. May the peace of God be with you and with you. And may the road rise to meet you. May the wind always be at your back. May the sunlight of Jesus Christ always grace your cheek. And may rain gently fall upon your field. And may God keep you in the hollow of God's hand. Until we meet again, go in peace. Amen.
Remain connected to us as we build God's kingdom together. Join us on Facebook at the historic First African Baptist Church and our website, firstafricanbc.com. You may also contribute through an app called Givelify, Givelify. May God bless you and thank you for worshiping with us.